In 2006, I boarded a plane with a few teachers and several of my high school classmates for what would be my first international trip. After a number of see you laters, shared hugs with family, and what felt like days on an airplane, we embarked on a 2-week cultural exchange in Ghana, West Africa. An experience, friends, that I will cherish and remember for the rest of my life. Now, there are many things that I remember from that trip. From the heat, to the amazing food and the joyful hospitality of the people, to the sharing of ideas, traditions, and knowledge. But one experience in particular, one that still gives me goosebumps, was having the opportunity to visit the Elmina Castle, the first European slave trading post in all of sub-Saharan Africa. Now, the castle has been preserved as a national museum and monument, so tourists are invited to walk through what were once those small and cramped slave dungeons that used to be full of individuals for whom no invitation was given. We were invited to walk through the infamous door of no return, which the enslaved were forced to walk through upon boarding those ships, which would then take them on that horrible and hazardous journey across the Atlantic, known to us as the Middle Passage. Now, I can't exactly put into words for you what it was like to walk through such a space, to take in the history and to have to pause several times to really grapple with the painful reality of how my ancestors got to North America, how it is that I got here some generations later, and the horrible experiences endured along the way. And I can't exactly put into words just how difficult it was to stand out and look out into the waters where many enslaved persons practiced some of their first forms of resistance and rebellion, choosing to surrender to the dangerous seas rather than to succumb to a life in slavery. But I can't say that I blame them. And I've thought often about that Elmina Castle, those spaces through which we walked. I thought about the fact that we were fully free and allowed to move around at our own pace. I've thought about the door of no return, and friends, I've thought about the water. Water that for so many meant surrendering to death. But water that also saved so many from having to live in what would become and continue to be death-dealing circumstances for Africans in America. Water that would later aid in the salvation of so many who needed to pass through the waters just to make it to the other side. Water. Water that has historically been for Africans in America a space of salvation, either by transporting people from earth to eternity or from hell on one side to healing on another. Water that for Africans in America brought about freedom in one way or another. Wade in the water, children, wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. Water is referenced over 700 times in the Bible. In both the Old and New Testaments, countless passages of scripture reference water. In fact, it is said that water is mentioned more times than faith, hope, prayer, and worship. And so I think it's safe to say that water is pretty significant. And as you read through scripture, one thing that becomes clear is that there are many different meanings, purposes, and functions for water for people of faith. For some, it did mean death, destruction, and despair. But for others, it meant life, liberty, and a light at the end of the tunnel. Water is also that thing that we most often associate with baptism, with cleansing and healing and being born again. And still for others, water was and continues to be transitory. A space of transition not meant to be permanent, but meant to be one of those liminal spaces through which people of faith journey on their way towards the fulfillment of the purposes and promises of God. And our scripture for this morning is one that speaks about such transition. In Joshua, we find a story about a journey across the Jordan, a journey for people on their way to the promised land of Canaan. We find Israel standing on the banks of the Jordan, looking out at dangerous, risky, and uncertain conditions as the water is said to have been at flood stage. Aware of the dangerous, risky, and uncertain conditions of the wilderness they most recently faced, the Israelites are standing in front of a presumably terrifying situation that the text tells us is meant to serve as a reminder that by this they will know that among them is the living God. And so it's in that knowledge that the Israelites choose to move forward, to take that first step out into the deep waters, waters that God eventually causes to stand still, and eventually they successfully cross over the Jordan. But in reading our scripture, I wonder if there were doubts. I wonder if the Israelites were concerned that they wouldn't make it across. I wonder, friends, if there was a moment where the Israelites thought they'd got it wrong, that maybe they'd heard God incorrectly, that perhaps this wasn't exactly the right time to leave. But even more than that, it's in this spirit of wondering, and it's in thinking about this passage of scripture that I'm reminded again of a people who endured the dangerous, risky, and uncertain condition of slavery. A people who were forced into conditions that unfortunately promised hell on earth, death, destruction, and despair. A people for whom the conditions in which they were forced to live promised everything but life, liberty, and a light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm reminded of that same spirit of resistance and rebellion that so many encountered during the Middle Passage, and that led many to also resist and rebel by escaping by another means. Excuse me. History tells us that Africans in America attempted on numerous occasions to escape the conditions of slavery. There were many ways that this happened, but one in particular involved leaving a plantation with freedom in mind and coming to a point on that journey where they too stood on the banks of the river, looking out at more dangerous, risky, and uncertain conditions, knowing that the only way to whatever awaited them on the other side was through turbulent waters. Wade in the water, God's gonna trouble the water. And friends, as I'm reminded of that history, I can't help but wonder if the same faith that we see in the Israelites is the same faith that moved through those courageous black women and men in search of freedom. In fact, I know it was the same faith. You see, to sing a song about wading in the water, a song utilized as a form of communication between the enslaved, coded so that slave catchers and others would not be able to understand the message, was to sing a song about faith. To sing a song about wading in the water, knowing that having to either hide or pass through the water was to wash or cleanse oneself of whatever scent you had in order to throw off the dogs sent to track you down and hunt you, was to sing a song about faith. In fact, I'd like to suggest that the very belief that God was going to be present even in the water enough to trouble it, as the song suggests, is to have the kind of faith that causes you to believe in what you cannot see, to trust in what you cannot tangibly touch, and to decide to move forward, trusting fully that the same God who has been with you all along is the same God who will be with you now. And so, friends, if there's nothing else that we learn from the enslaved persons who wrote, sang, and lived those words to wade in the water, it is to have the kind of faith that says, though I stand in the midst of dangerous, risky, and uncertain conditions, many of which are beyond my control, many of which were not ordained by God, I know that God is with me. Though I stand with my back to the conditions that have tried to destroy my faith, I look forward in faith, knowing that God's presence goes with me. And so my question to you today is, do you have that kind of faith? Do you trust God so much that you'll step out in faith even though you have no idea what awaits you on the rest of the journey? Does your faith move you to the point that you can trust God to cause what was previously a space of death to be for you that thing that now carries you towards new life? Friends, when is the last time that your faith caused you to move? What does it mean for us to trust God so much that we'd venture out into the water knowing that some of our loved ones encountered these same or other waters and did not live to tell the story? You see, I want to be clear this morning that the spirituals were messages wrapped up in and birthed through faith. Faith in the fact that what's coming has to be better than what is. Faith that believes God wants something better for all of God's people. Faith that compels you to sing a song in a strange land. Faith that cannot be shaken even by the same people and powers that try to feed you a different interpretation of that faith. Faith that believes the healing, cleansing, salvific power of water is available to us all. And faith that trusts in the transitory, in that space of transition through liminal spaces on the way towards God's promises being fulfilled. As scary as it can be, as lonely as it can be, and as uncertain as you may be while you're in it, transitions are necessary. As the only way to something, friends, is through something else. And I think we all know a little something about transition. Whether it's in this present moment as we wait for the continued rollout of a vaccine that will take us from COVID-19 through successful vaccinations and then healing from this pandemic. Or friends, whether it's in those transitions of life where we are having to navigate the uncertainty of recent or prolonged diagnoses. Waiting to be in the presence of loved ones again, anticipating the return to life beyond a national shutdown, and even the hope in justice in a world that has dealt with the race epidemic for too long. We are all familiar with transitions. Yes, they are uncomfortable. Yes, they are difficult to understand. And yes, they are full of uncertainty, but God promises to be with us. And I wonder if we as a people of faith believe in and have the same faith that caused both the Israelites and large numbers of African Americans to just step out into the waters of life, believing that if we just waded through those troubling moments that we'd make it to the other side of whatever it is that this is. I wonder if we have the same faith that believes God is just as present with us now as God has been before. That even as we approach and as we embrace the season of Lent, and as we experience the season of transition that it presents, that on the other side of these quiet, reflective, and yes, troubling days is news of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One who declares over and over and over again in Scripture that he is the living water, the kind of water that heals, the kind of water that sets free, the kind of water that causes us to never thirst again, water that loves, and that in loving promises on the other side of the resurrection to leave us with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Present in each and every one of us to guide, protect, and help carry us through many of life's transitioning experiences. Can you hear it? We're never left alone. God promises to be with us. Jesus as living water is the promise to all of us that what's coming has to be better than what is, that there is something better for all of God's people, that we can sing even in strange times and even in a strange land, that though we encounter situations that try to discourage or silence our faith, the love of Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit is still with us to guide, to protect, and to carry us always. So friends, if we do nothing else during the season of Lent, I pray. I pray that we at least look for ways to reset and restore our faith. Maybe that's through the reading of a passage of Scripture a day that reminds us of the ways God has been present with those who've come before us, so that we might be encouraged to know that God is still with us now, that the same God who did it for them is interested in doing it for us. Or maybe it's through taking the time to continue to learn about a spiritual a day or a week, so that through them you can hear the stories of faith of a people who continue to believe in the face of unbelievable circumstances. I just hope we come out on the other side of Lent confident that the Holy Spirit is as alive in each of us as she has been down and throughout history. But more than that, I hope our confidence in the presence and protection of the Spirit compels us to live like Jesus lived, to step out in the face of turbulent and troubled situations and to do what is right, to speak up for the oppressed and the marginalized, and to never stop fighting for justice and peace, to allow ourselves to be living, moving, tangible examples of the love of Christ in a world that needs it. Because friends, I don't know if this needs to be said, but you cannot claim to have faith in God, to believe in Jesus and to claim to be filled with the Spirit, but then choose not to join in that gospel mandate to live and to love all of God's people. We are required by that gospel mandate to be the hands and the feet of Christ, to allow rivers of living water to flow through us, going out into the world to advocate for and attend to those for whom the world disposes and continues to disenfranchise. When Christ says, "Whoever believes in me, out of their heart will flow rivers of living water," I believe this is what he means, that out of our hearts should flow the love and the light of Jesus Christ. But what does that mean? What does it mean for the love and light of Christ to flow through us? Well, for me, it means that the things of Christ, those things that were important to Christ, the character of Christ, ought to flow through each of us. Justice ought to flow through us. Love ought to flow through us. Hope should flow through us. Peace and compassion and grace should flow through us. Healing for a broken world should flow through us. The rivers of living water, the rivers of Christ flowing through us, means that we become those proverbial waters, those spaces of life, liberty, and a light at the end of the tunnel in a world full of death, destruction, and despair. Yes, this is the part where we get to choose which kind of space we will be for the people and the world around us. And it's my hope that we'll choose to be something and someone that represents Christ well, someone that chooses, yes, makes a conscious choice to help someone else, even as we continue to take those steps and to journey through life's troubling waters. So friends, I leave you with this. In 2019, the movie Harriet was released in theaters. This movie, though not 100% historical, told the story of Araminta Ross, known to us as Harriet Tubman, known to many of the enslaved as Moses, the Wonder Woman and courageous conductor of the Underground Railroad, that network of secret routes and safe houses used by enslaved African Americans to escape into free states and Canada. This is the movie that attempted to tell the story of her life. Well, in the movie, after escaping herself, Harriet comes back to help some of her family and friends across to freedom. In a chilling scene during one of those escapes, Harriet and her friends come to a river. Upon realizing that the only way across and to the other side is through these waters, Harriet's loved ones begin to doubt. I can't say that I blame them, but determined to continue to fulfill her mission to help other enslaved African Americans reach freedom, she begins to walk out into the water by herself. And as she walks out into the water, she walks with her hands raised in the air and in the dark. As she walks ahead a little further, she eventually comes to a point where she stands still and prays this prayer. Heavenly Father, rivers of living water flow through me. Lord, help me cross. Lead me through. And as she continues forward in faith, her loved ones begin to step out to take that first step into the water too. And spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the movie, they all make it to the other side. So my prayer for you, my prayer for myself as we embark on this season of Lent is exactly the same. Rivers of living water flow through me. Lord, help me cross. Lead me through. And it is my hope that that will be your prayer too. That you'll be willing to wade in those troubling waters, but that you'll also be willing to let the Spirit of God flow through you into those places and to those people that need it. And in praying it, and then deciding to step out into those waters, may we also join in the present day networks that exist to help bring freedom and justice to all of God's people. May it be so. Amen.